Do we need to completely revamp, relook at the way we run the railways? Well, Bruce Williamson is a spokesperson for Rail Future, joins us now. Hello, Bruce.
Good evening.
What's your feeling about this, then? Do you think we do need a complete overhaul?
Well, there's certainly scope for improvement, and I think there is broad agreement that the current franchising system in its current form simply doesn't work very well. Scope for overhaul. I don't think we need to sort of go mad, because, you know, overhauls are synonymous with disruption, and the last thing that the railway system needs now is more disruption.
Well, so evolution rather than revolution.
Yeah, I think so, definitely. But, it's interesting that Campaign for Better Transport have sort of picked up on a couple of themes that we've been advocating for some time. One of which, of course, is devolution. I think there's a lot of scope for getting appropriate local authorities involved in running the railways, where they know best what's best for, you know, their local area. And I think Transport for London is an example of that. Obviously, I'm not going to pretend for a minute that, you know, everything's rosy on London's tubes and trains. But, I think it is in some ways better than other parts of the country. And what TfL do with the overground is another thing which we're advocating, which is raised in this report, which is an end to the franchising system in its current form. And so what I think we'd like to see is more of a sort of management contract, which is sometimes described as a concession rather than a franchise. And that means that the commercial sector is responsible for the running of the railway to a timetable, to a specification, but they're not taking on the risk and reward element of the revenue, because I think...
Right, so they get a set fee for doing a set job.
Exactly, yeah. And the evidence seems to be that seems to work better.
Yep, that sort of makes sense. I think what grates with people sometimes is that... Yeah, we all know there are certain companies that don't seem to be doing so well. There are certain companies where the trains always seem to be late, and they don't seem to get punished.
Yeah, indeed. Northern very much is the villain of the piece. But I think, you know, the companies do lose their franchises. What particularly I think irks the public is when the boss of the company that's performed very badly gets a huge bonus, which, seems completely at odds with the performance of the railway. Where are we going with this? Yeah, I mean, the reasons why some perform very badly, you know, are very complex, and they will pass the buck and onto Network Rail and the Department for Transport, and in some cases that's justified. But yeah, clearly there's examples of good and bad practice, and I think the government, Department for Transport, needs to learn from the lessons of where people have done well, and the rail industry itself needs to do the same, so that the northerns of this world are not long for this world.
Why are the prices so high, or at least they feel high to me, and that they're going up again?
They are undoubtedly very high. We often say that they're the most expensive in Europe. They're certainly amongst the most expensive in Europe. For walk-on fares, you're going to get an eye-watering fee that won't be matched anywhere in Europe. And quite simply, it's down to the government. It's very simply the government deciding that they're going to put the fares up every year above inflation. They use the RPI measure of inflation, which is much higher than CPI, which they claim is the more accurate measure of inflation. So it means that rail fares are rising in real terms. They're taking an ever bigger chunk out of people's income and becoming ever less affordable. But it's a deliberate policy on the part of the government, because they want to subsidise the railways less and less and less. And while they can squeeze the passengers more and more and more and continue to get away with it, they will.
Of course, the big headline-grabbing issue with rail is the big projects. Crossrail, HS2 in particular. Is that the answer, that we pump all the money into these super-sized projects?
Well, I mean, certainly yes, because we need extra capacity. But, you know, in the next breath, you're going to say, shouldn't we be also investing in, you know, the existing lines? And the answer is yes, it shouldn't be an either-or thing. Clearly, where we've got an existing railway with lines which are growing and more people want to use them, we've got to invest and renew in those existing lines to meet the capacity. But there comes a point as well where the existing lines can't cope no matter how much money you invest in them. And so we need these new lines as well. So Crossrail and HS2 are vital for bringing increased capacity. And there's talk of, you know, Northern Powerhouse Rail, HS3, whatever you want to call it, an equivalent thing for the north. And I think there's a very strong case for that as well.
And in terms of where we're going, do you think railways are the future, given all climate change and everything else?
Evidence that people are voting with their feet. Passenger numbers have doubled in the last 20 years. And, you know, if you go back to, I don't know, the 1980s, no one would ever have dreamt of that happening. So, you know, there's huge demand. It's an environmentally friendly form of transport. To get huge numbers of people into our city centres, you can only do it with rail. And, you know, rail has a bright future, but we've got to invest in it.
Yeah, I wonder whether it is... Was it a terrible mistake? I mean, I recall I was probably about two at the time or something, but you know, we did the opposite. We were closing railway lines all over the country. Was that a terrible mistake? Should we have kept them all open?
It was. In fact, I'll tell you what I think is the greater mistake, though. It wasn't so much closing the lines. It was ripping up the track and selling off the land. And that was a huge short-sighted mistake. And people in other countries who did their equivalent of beaching didn't make that mistake. They preserved the land. And so, you know, we have in this country a pitifully small list of railway lines that have been reopened. But they all have been hugely successful. And we'd like to open more, but one of the real problems we have is that some short-sighted idiot has plonked a housing estate and a bypass and a supermarket on the railway land, which makes it either prohibitively expensive or impossible to reopen those railways. And then the alternative is either not to have the railway or to, you know, have huge demolition or huge tunnelling, which is monstrously expensive. So that I think, is the real frustrating mistake. And not only that, the government continues to refuse to protect the land of railways that could be reopened.
Yeah, which is a real shame, I would have thought. So actually, apart from these big projects like HS2, which will have an environmental cost, there's not much chance of us reopening lots of other railways or building new ones.
Well, no, I think there is. You know, there's, for instance, each east-west rail between Oxford and Cambridge is you know, that's an ongoing project, but they're going to have to reroute that because part of it's been built on and part of it's been used for the Cambridge guided bus and so on, you know, which just makes life so difficult. And to say, no, let's not build on that, build your guided bus or your bypass somewhere else, it's easy to do. And in Scotland, of course, we've got Borders Railway, and there's talk of extending that to Carlisle. And there are numerous other examples up and down the country. Portishead is happening in the West Country and so on. But, they represent a tiny, tiny fraction of the lines that were closed. And I think there is huge potential for reopening an awful lot more.
Do you think the current government might be up for getting more involved in railways?
Well, they'll talk the talk, won't they? But now the election is over, you know, it's interesting to see how the promises actually manifest themselves, or not, as the case may be. HS2 was sort of threatened by Boris Johnson, who I believe is not a fan, but I think the straws in the wind of the most recent report he's had on it suggest that actually it will survive. And I mentioned Northern Powerhouse Rail, which everyone thinks is a good idea. We need much better connectivity across the whole of the north. So I don't know. I suspect, you know, that rail isn't the government's top priority at the moment. But I think, you know, it's up to people like us to keep making a noise and make sure it stays near the top of the agenda.
OK, Bruce, thank you very much. Bruce Williamson from Rail Future, 0345 6060 973, if you'd like to comment on...